bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
That transition brought to you by Nilla Wafers. Nilla Wafers.
Nilla.
It's
Nilla good.
See, by calling them Nilla Wafers, Dane, you didn't have to put any vanilla in it because you go, no, it did. We never said there was vanilla in Nilla Wafers. And you go, yeah, but it says Nilla. Doesn't that mean vanilla?
Did someone have sort of the copyright or some kind of ownership of either the word vanilla or maybe the vanilla industry?
Right.
Was it just to be like clever and cute? I mean, there was a reason behind it.
Right.
This is catchy.
But it's the way, you know how at the store, sometimes you'll see crab meat, but crab is easy
crab
to spell.
Crab has four B's.
Right. Right. You go, is there any crab in this crab meat?
What do you mean?
Crab meaning...
What do you mean by crab?
Like crab, like the crustacean. It's not important. You know? This is the bonus hour, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Later on during the bonus hour, our friend Jerry Nunn will join us, and he will tell us what activities are going on in and around Chicagoland for the month of September. Well, September's right around the corner.
When you ask him about the activities, one thing we know for sure is he's not going to say that there are none.
No. Right. What a waste of everyone's time. He'll probably have dozens or hundreds of activities for you.
So to pick which one we like the best?
That's how he works. Dane, during the regular show, you and I, for reasons I don't remember... Oh, I do remember now. We started talking about puppets for a little bit because The Dark Crystal is coming back as a TV series.
Yes.
The Dark Crystal, of course, a Jim Henson production, a movie from years and years ago.
Puppet pioneer.
Jim Henson? Absolutely. So I said to you, half jokingly, half serious, if there was a puppet Mount Rushmore with four puppets on it.
I am sure that there is
there
one.
There is a puppet Mount Rushmore somewhere.
Probably in Topeka, Kansas right now.
Probably.
Puppet Mount.
Who would be the four most important puppets from the world of all things puppety?
Ooh. You know, and you got to think, too, not only like who they are, the body of work, the impact that they had in their, I think, chosen field.
A quick side note before you go on any further. Would marionettes be allowed on this puppet Mount Rushmore? So it can be puppets and marionettes, or would you do a separate one?
It depends. So if it was going to, like, if it's the lobby group for just the traditional kind of puppet situation or the hand puppet or the sock puppet people, I think everybody should be weighted the same based on the fact that if it's some sort of a critter or person.
Yes.
And then it's controlled by either strings or hands or whatever,
yes.
Right? It isn't.
Yes.
It's not a costume. There's not a person, a human being inside of it necessarily.
Right.
Like the banana splits.
Right.
Then I think that it can be considered. And you'd have to write up the criteria, right, Bill?
Yes.
You'd have to have like puppet or no puppet. That would be it in the frequently asked questions area.
You don't want puppet pandemonium. You want there to be some semblance of order.
Yes.
So when this is erected, everybody can look at it and say, those are truly the four most important puppets of all time. And then if somebody goes, what about marionettes? You go, you want the Marionette Hall of Fame, or do you want the Marionette Mount Rushmore? It's that way.
I think then you also have a building, because you can only have so many on there, plus chiseling and blowing up, and you need a mountain, all that kind of stuff. It's tough work. But I think you have a separate building, and just think of all the merchandising and souvenir possibilities. So you have this hall of notable puppets.
Yes.
So like, I don't want to say Hall of Fame, but some kind of like, you know, puppet pathway of fame.
Yep.
Right? You know, and so then you have that. So let's think about it. This is crazy, because you think puppets have gone by the wayside as far as prominence. Are there any A-list puppets right now? Are people going to see sold out shows with puppets? I don't know that they are, but I think their influence and in place in history is undeniable. I would put, here's where I would put. So you have
go slow because I'm writing them down, because I'm going to submit them to somebody important.
For a lot of people, when they, but puppets, geez, I think you got Howdy Doody's got to be in there somewhere.
But he's a marionette.
I'm just okay. So we're gonna make
this a marionette.
Okay,
just for the record, because I love him too. Nobody loves Howdy Doody more than me.
Okay, that's true.
But he is a marionette.
All right, so we're gonna make that distinction. I think that
what was great about Howdy Doody? Well, one, you know,
nothing.
What? Can I tell you one of the many, many, many things that was great about Howdy Doody? Buffalo Bob Smith, the creator and genius behind
the Colonel Parker,
the Colonel of the Howdy Tom Doody. Parker of Howdy Doody. Didn't even change his voice a little bit when he did Howdy Doody's voice. So a conversation would be, so this is Buffalo Bob Smith and Howdy Doody, and see if you can tell the difference. Hi, Howdy. Hi, Buffalo Bob. How are you, Howdy? Pretty good, Buffalo Bob. And that would go on for half an hour, and he didn't even change his voice even a little bit. He moved his lips.
Bill, I think there was like 3.5 channels out there. So anything that was on television.
Having
was
a good day, Howdy? Pretty good day, Buffalo Bob. What'd you do today, Howdy? Went to the store, Buffalo Bob. What'd you get, Howdy? Got some gum, Buffalo Bob.
So writers were involved, like the top writers writing that clever banter.
Yes.
But I think there's only a couple channels, and so anything you put on there.
Yeah.
And so maybe, and this is important, I think, because Howdy Doody, if he was up against the entertainment values of today, I don't know, maybe he'd all
hold up.
Right.
You think he wouldn't hold up?
Based on no one else had anything to look at.
It was a simpler time. The 1950s were a simpler time. Right. Where Howdy Doody could be a megastar.
He was a megastar.
Today you would have a hard time. You're right.
Yeah, I think just right place, right time.
Unless his name was Howdy Doody Kardashian. Howdy Doody. Then he would do great.
Imagine that.
People would love him.
The reality show of Howdy Doody. But it's really right. Reality because you have to have that authenticity. So it's just him in a box or in a closet or sitting and laying on a chair.
Hi, Howdy. Hi, Cam. She wouldn't even change her voice.
Is that a new line of jewelry?
Right. Are you dating any NBA players? Yes, I am, Cam. Are you? Yes, I am.
So we've come a long way. I think Charlie McCarthy. You know, that's with Edgar Bergen, you know.
Now you're talking.
Because I'm trying to think in the way back time.
McCarthy, I'm putting him down because that's a great one. Charlie McCarthy.
And then I think you have to have.
What about Knucklehead Smith? And keep in mind, I said
that a real
Smith,
one?
Not. Yeah.
So I think that's in the wing of the, hey, you never knew, but these were sort of the people that paved the way for puppet celebrity.
Right.
Because Knucklehead Smith.
He's in there.
You're not going to chisel a Knucklehead Smith when you got a Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog, by the way, I'm saying should be your anchor puppet. That's if you're doing.
He's
this,
your Abraham Lincoln.
Yes,
you know of George Washington.
There can be no debate about Kermit the Frog. Yeah. He's in there,
man.
Right? I mean, there's other Muppets that you go. Well, then you have to have a Miss Piggy for sure. You got to have Fozzie Bear for sure. Maybe, but what? Kermit 100% sure.
Without Kermit. And I think there are some schools of thought where people would include maybe an Ernie Burt, but I think without Kermit,
yes, you're right.
Without Kermit, you don't have anybody else,
right?
You know,
right?
You don't have a Fozzie Bear. You know, there's not
because Kermit transcended both the Sesame Street world and the Muppet, the Muppet Show world. He was in both, and one of our finest entertainers.
To this day, you can show this to a kid, and they will know who Kermit the Frog
absolutely.
Is. Where, believe it or not. Like, a lot of people aren't as familiar with the whole Sesame Street thing as maybe they were in the past. Yeah.
When I was a little kid, so Sesame Street had not come on yet because Sesame Street started, I think, in 1967 or 1968, right? I can't remember which, but that was the beginning of Sesame Street. I had a stuffed Kermit the Frog before Sesame Street was on because he was used as.
He was doing some like off-Broadway
work. He was a young, struggling actor.
Doing some cable access before he made it big.
Did a couple jobs that he's not proud of, but who hasn't? You know, when you're a young, up-and-coming performer.
All he had was that collar, that little.
Well, I had a puppet that was without a doubt 100%. It was Kermit the Frog, but Jim Henson was doing it for some kind of, I can't remember if it was a car dealership. He was doing commercials where he had Kermit and other puppets.
He was doing this like old Al Pamani commercials?
Yes. I don't even remember if his name was Kermit, but a relative gave him to me. They were traveling and picked it up, and I had one 2 or 3 years before Sesame Street even started.
That's got to.
And the eyes were ping pong balls.
As a guy who can appreciate and understands the collectible toy world,
yes.
You still have it?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Just
I played with it all the time, and it got real kind of scraggly. But then.
Which was one of Kermit's cousins.
Scraggly the Frog. He was the raspy voiced cousin of Kermit,
right.
Who might have had some shady dealings. I don't remember his backstory.
Yeah.
I don't remember his backstory. But we were ready to throw him away, Kermit. So I was like 4 years old.
Okay.
And we didn't call him Kermit. We just called him Froggy.
Makes sense.
He was 100% Kermit. But then Sesame Street came on, and my mom and my brother and I were just, we go, why is Froggy on Sesame? How did this happen?
Because you threw him out, and then that was just like,
right.
Then he felt maybe he hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And he went out there kind of
Hollywood.
Unscraggled.
Yeah.
Had a little work done, and boom, hit TV show.
He got an agent. He started auditioning for things. Didn't know Sesame Street would take off, and
no
it did.
One did.
No one did. No, no one did. But isn't that crazy? That was a few years before anyone even heard of Sesame Street.
Well, you wonder where ideas happened. So yeah. Maybe Jim Henson was out there in the local toy store and saw a relative of Froggy and said, yeah. There's my star.
That, right. Kid, come with me. Yeah. I'm going to change your destiny. All right. So Kermit the Frog is a given. You got the Mount Rushmore puppets. Kermit the Frog is on there. And Charlie McCarthy is definitely on there. Well, who's our next move? Can I suggest to you Lester? Oh. Lily Tyler and Lester.
Well, okay. Okay.
How about Bob from Chuck and Bob on Soap?
Or Lamb Chop, you know, I guess.
You know what? I know you're kidding, but I'm not. I think maybe Lamb Chop is on there.
Because these, okay, and it's this may sound crazy because I don't, other than maybe on America's Got Talent, where the amazing part isn't the entertainment value of the puppet or the person or that you'd like to see them on a show. Mm-hmm. It's that I cannot believe they can not move their mouth, drink water, mm-hmm. play a xylophone, play like three rounds of chess with people while the puppet's talking. That's the thing that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, like these, well, Willie Tyler and Lester or Lamb Chop,
right?
They were celebrities. They'd be on the Tonight Show as guests.
I know. Kermit guest hosted the Tonight Show.
Oh my God!
They let him host.
I mean, these
Kermit.
So they were celebrities and they were entertainers in their own right, as opposed to just, you know, kind of props to see. Kind of what amazing thing can I do with my mouth? So I think. You gotta add them in there because they were big
stars.
Keep
in mind, we only have four slots, so we have to be very careful because we don't want to leave out. And I know if you're making an argument, you go, "Come on, Miss Piggy is much more important than Lamb Chop." Yeah,
but I think you represent that whole Jim Henson world because otherwise,
just by having Kermit,
you have one that kind of represents that era.
Yeah,
I think that kind of my otherwise you got to put like well, Grover was great, Ernie and Bert, you know, Oscar the Grouch.
Elmo.
These are all stars.
Elmo became popular after you and I were watching the show, but Elmo, to most kids, that's the heart of Sesame Street.
He was the big kind of, I would say that Kermit sort of passed that celebrity puppet torch to Elmo. Elmo. Elmo was as big as it gets,
yes,
you know, for those
kids.
Yep.
Let me throw two names out to you, not Muppet related.
Let me throw two ridiculous puppet
Let
names
Let me throw
at
two ridiculous puppet names at you, see what your thoughts are. Kukla? And Ollie.
So
not Fran, of course, because Fran, I found out years later, was a human being. I thought, this is the
people,
best,
people
the
didn't
best
know that.
Puppet of all time. Right. She looks so real. No, she is real. It's Kukla and Ollie that were the puppets.
They have to be in there. They have got
both
to be.
Both of them?
Well, this was entertainment. That was a famous show mm-hmm. based on, because you could say it like Howdy Doody, but there was a lot of other, you know, Clarabelle, mm-hmm. you know, and Buffalo, you know, there's a bunch. It was sort of like an entourage, an ensemble kind of thing. And whereas like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, like it or not, and it's simplistic and kind of creepy
right.
as it all looked.
Yep.
They had a huge impact.
All right. So Ollie was a dinosaur or a dragon. He was a dragon, but Kukla. What was Kukla? Kukla just looked like a disenfranchised clown of some sort, right?
Yes. Well,
Kukla wasn't right.
Not all clowns are happy, you know. You got
but Kukla just looked like Kukla. I don't even know if Kukla was a man or a woman. I can't even tell. But Kukla just
doesn't
be,
matter.
No,
Bill.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Come on.
Just for the record, it doesn't matter. Right. Whatever Kukla is, fine by me. But Kukla just seemed disenfranchised and like he or she wanted to be elsewhere.
Okay. But their impact, they had.
You know who else we're leaving out?
Well, I got a whole group of people now that you made me think Kukla that there's got to be so many. So 312-981-72. Right. Oh, I know that. That's not. We've got a different number.
The number now, Dane, hold on.
If anyone.
312. Thanks, Jeff.
235-25.
Because there's things we're. Because it just made me think of right now.
Yeah.
The whole Giggle Snort Hotel universe.
But now that's Chicago centric. For most of America, they don't know about BJ and Dirty Dragon because without a doubt, you got tons of characters
and
from there. Right.
He was always upset.
But he wasn't even a puppet. He was just a mound of unformed clay.
Okay. I think he fits.
Which was a religious band in the early 2000s.
But think about that as the show pitch. All right, here's what I'm going to do throughout the course of the episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to sculpt this clay.
Yes.
While it complains.
Yes.
Into something amazing.
And you couldn't even tell if it was complaining or if it was excited by the whole process. It was just making weird rumbly noises.
But
if you're doing a Bill Jackson representation, I think Dirty Dragon would probably be the one that would get the most interest, right? But again, this was only in Chicago. Okay. Most of the country wouldn't have even been aware of those puppets And they were really good. Weird and Wally.
Weird. Well, and there's
the Lemon Drop Kid.
Here comes the judge. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so
there were many.
There's a lot of fudge related
right. episodes. There's no rhyme. You can't dissect it now. It wouldn't make sense now. But here's who we're not saying who should definitely be in the puppet Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Is Punch and Judy.
Oh.
Or as we call them at WGN, Punch and Judy Pilak. But she used to get very upset when we would say Punch and Judy Pilak.
Well, because she didn't want people, you know, she was a straight news person, but right. then her pugilistic endeavors were
outstanding. Yeah, so outstanding. Good. But well, they like in the old days of puppetry, you would always have, like if you went to a small village somewhere, you would always have somebody doing Punch and Judy shows. Punch and I don't know how that happened, but they were like all over the place. This is centuries ago, of course. But they, that was most people's first access to the world of puppets would be your Punch and your Judy.
Well, they have a place. If you think about the entertainment that people had back then, you know, and I don't know, I don't say role models, right? Because
right.
maybe they wouldn't be, but,
right.
but I think it falls into line because you're looking at the low bar of effort that you had to be for Howdy Doody, right? You didn't even mm-hmm. have to pretend to like change your voice.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. I'm not even going to pretend to where a Punch and Judy could become a phenomenon based on, I think, the lack of anything else.
What was Paul Winchell's puppet's name? Do you remember? Remember when Paul Winchell was always showing up on shows and he always had at least one, sometimes more than one puppet, but I don't remember their names.
I don't remember.
Was it, I want to say Jerry Lester. Or Lester, maybe just Lester.
I think Jerry Lester's the color commentator for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right, that's who that is. I'm sorry. I thought he was a puppet also. All right, so we're in total agreement on Kermit. We're in total agreement about Edgar Bergen. And the other ones are still kind of vague.
Well, because it's you know, so many of these things as we're kind of going through the conversation, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Yep.
And then I think there is that whole, like, well, what should be included and what should not be included. I think... I'm kind of in the camp of marionettes could be included.
So you would throw Howdy Doody in based on that?
Yeah. I mean, I would just because...
What about the Helping Hand from Hamburger Helper?
What?
Does that count as a puppet?
The Pillsbury Doughboy?
What about the... Well, no, he's not a puppet because nobody's hand is working
that
him.
That you can see.
But the Helping Hand definitely had a hand working it.
Well, even the Muppets... It didn't have a lot of...
There was no bottom to the Muppets.
Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't an obvious... They tried to make it...
They were using sticks to move them around.
And Big Bird himself, one of the most famous Muppets of all time, was actually a costumed actor.
Carl Spinney.
Yeah.
Carol Spinney.
Who also doubled as Chewbacca because he was the only large costumed man.
Only 9-foot person who could put a costume on. All right. We will take a break. Ryan Burrow will join us. He'll give us some news. And then Jerry Nunn for Nunn on the Run. That's all ahead. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Ryan Burrow is in studio with us. Ryan, before the news, Dane and I are going to start a Mount Rushmore with all puppet heads on it. We're going to have the most...
Not just heads. I think busts.
The whole puppet.
Yeah. Well, you know, show a collar if they got it.
Who should be in the puppet Mount Rushmore?
Boy. Well, you know, this might... I do believe that Elmo is deserving. Elmo has been around for quite some time, even after me, but even like through my kid. Like, I would say from the late 80s until really about... Maybe a couple of years ago, Elmo was probably one of the biggest puppets
Elmo
I think
there?
You could think of. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the only Muppet we knew 100% for sure was Kermit.
Kermit, yeah.
But then Fozzie Bear and Miss Piggy certainly would be up for it. But Elmo's...
Support staff.
Really? Not that important.
Cookie Monster?
Yeah.
Cookie Monster,
Grover.
Maybe.
Also Super Grover.
I'm sorry, I don't know if Super Grover.
Well, that was one of Grover's. Well, just they all had sort of like alter, I don't want to say egos or roles they would play, just as like Kermit the Frog was a typical, you know, kind of regular, you know, frog about town, love interest for Miss Piggy. But also remember, he was the roving reporter in the trench coat.
Yeah,
too.
Right. What about Guy Smiley? What about Roosevelt Franklin?
Roosevelt Franklin.
Remember
sure.
him? I love Roosevelt Franklin. Wow. So those are all names to consider if our dream becomes reality at some point.
None. Down the run. None. Down the run. None. Down the run. None. Down the run.
Jerry Nunn is here from Nunn on the Run, and I want to quickly thank Quincy Jones for helping put that together for me. That was very, very nice of him. Jerry, before we get into all the doings of happenings that are happening in Chicago, Ryan, you have a quick correction that needs to be made.
Yeah, so it was a 2-hour special of three shows. It was Golden Girls, Empty Nest, and Nurses, mm-hmm. and it was called Hurricane Saturday, and they specifically focused on one kind of storm, but this actually happened before Hurricane Andrew. It happened in November of 1991. It ran on a Saturday, and Andrew didn't come until 1992. So
we were trying to figure out if they timed it to each do an episode, and then go, when is a hurricane coming? We'll run it then. But that wasn't the case
at
all.
No, it happened before a hurricane happened. Well, maybe it was after a hurricane, but it wasn't Andrew.
Because all those shows were based in Florida.
Right on the coast there.
So it makes perfect sense. Yeah. And then, Dane, this isn't a correction, but an addendum to our puppet. I keep wanting to say Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, the puppet path of stardom.
Yep. These are the most important puppets, all getting their heads and possibly lower torsos or upper torsos. So we had left out Garfield Goose, but that is also a local Chicago favorite. Might not get national recognition, but the other one certainly would.
From Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you know, King Friday.
Yes.
You have all those. Wasn't there like a cat meow meow guy?
Yeah.
There was,
How about Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop. Aberlin. We mentioned Lamb Chop earlier.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Sherry Lewis's achievements. Yes. Yep.
So I think this is the tip of the puppet-related iceberg, that there are so many under or unrecognized kind of contributions to the entertainment
landscape
by puppets.
We're going to make this happen.
Yep.
Visit our GoFundMe page. And contribute whenever you can. Jerry, how are you? Good
I'm
to see
great.
You.
Yes, thanks
you
for having me.
You brought in some food. You do this from time to time. It's so nice of you. What did you bring in?
Well, thanks. So we're going to be talking about the Grand Cochon that is coming up. It's a big competition that is going to be here in Chicago.
Now, when we talk about it, Dane is well-schooled on this. I've only heard the name but don't know too much about it. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But what did you bring up and from where?
So this is Mexican cuisine from Cantina Laredo. That's at 508 North State Street. They've been there 8 years, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
They're that long. And so they're based out of Texas, really great food. They're competing in this pig competition. So they're going to be doing some chorizo, all kinds of things during this competition that's coming up. And that happens. The competition is called the Grand Cochon, which means domestic pig in French.
Oh.
Just so you know,
if you
know what cochon means.
All right.
And that's going to be at Fulton Market. And that comes up September 15th at 6 p.m.
And for the listeners, too, it is... So Danny Espinosa is over there at Cantina Laredo. They are the Chicago defending champions for Cochon 555. So it's a national tour that has events all over the country and cities. And it's five pigs, five chefs, five winemakers.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in... It's heritage breed pork is to extend that conversation about it. So instead of just commodity pork. So you've got your Berkshires, your Durocs, your... You know, all these different kind of pigs in the farms that support them as well. So they come together and it's a lot of creativity in there. It's an awesome event because it isn't, and Jerry, I know you've been to it a number of times over the years as well. And Grand Cochon is like the Super Bowl of it. So these are those best winners from around the country converging here. So it's going to be great. 15th at Fulton Market.
Who's, I'm guessing anyone, the general public is certainly allowed, right?
Yes.
So how is it priced structurally? How do they pull this up?
So they have like a general admission for $150. There's VIP for $225.
Mm-hmm.
That starts a little earlier, so you get a chance to go in and before everyone goes crazy.
Yeah.
Over all the... And the winner gets king of... Or queen of pork.
And everything's included too, Jerry. So just people know. So you don't get in there and then it's like itemized or it's all the all the food you can pretty much enjoy. There's lots of bourbons and certainly the wines and things like that. So it's one thing
That's
to
excellent.
Get in there and enjoy it all. Yep.
And someone is named the King of Pork.
Yes.
Which is my favorite Police song of all time.
Perfect.
I love that song. And when is it and where is it? One more time.
September 15th.
Yeah.
It's at Fulton Market. And this is the 10th anniversary for this competition.
Excellent. But that sounds good.
Cochon555.com for tickets and stuff.
Wow, Dane, right off the top of your head.
I know. He's into it.
Wow.
I start off strong.
It's impressive. Are some of the contestants from other places other than Chicago?
Yes.
They are.
Yeah, there's Dallas represented, Austin, New York City, L.A., Miami. Oh, so all
wide variety. Excellent.
But yeah.
Good luck to all the participants. That sounds good.
But we want Chicago to win.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yep.
So... just to go over, it's, you know, Labor Day weekend.
Will this be a busy month for events in Chicago?
It is a crazy month.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it is really jam-packed.
Yeah. And the weather's supposed to be not too bad
for this weekend. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So we're celebrating workers on September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Things to do in Chicago the jazz festival's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
August 23rd.
That's the one that Jasmine keeps telling me is named after her, but I'm not positive it is.
Exclusive rights to.
Are you sure, Jazz? All right.
Yeah, so that's going on over the whole weekend since September 1st, 41st edition. There's going to be a special tribute to Nat King Cole.
Deserved.
By his brother, Freddie.
Freddie King Cole.
Yes. In Millennium Park.
Is that real?
Freddie Cole. His name's Freddie Cole.
Okay.
So is he also a musician?
I don't know if he's a king. Yeah, he's going to be doing this whole tribute thing in Millennium Park, and that's free.
Cool. Yeah.
So anybody can come.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so that's coming over this weekend. Taste of Polonia in Jefferson Park.
Do you tell me about that.
I'm Polish.
It's Polish food.
Yes.
Right? Obviously,
Polish food, 30 bands going through September 2nd, 4 stages.
Will Bobby Vinton be attending?
Possibly.
All right. There's always a chance, Dane.
Or Bobby Vinton's brother.
Yes. Right.
Freddie Vinton. Freddie King Cole Vinton.
So that's going to be great. That's only $5 to $10.
Oh, what a bargain that is.
A good bargain on
that. Wow. Why is that so low priced? What's going on?
You know, we're just trying to keep it real here in Chicago.
That's a very, very affordable price, $5 to $10.
Another affordable price is the African Festival of the Arts is this weekend also through September 2nd in Washington Park.
Mm-hmm. And what goes on at this? Do we know?
Art.
Traditional drumming, vendors, games, all kinds of fun stuff.
Something for everybody.
Something for everyone. It's $20 at the gate.
All right. A little more expensive than A Taste of Polonia.
I'm moving up.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Another free event. Navy Pier is going to be ending their fireworks, so right out there.
I think this weekend the last weekend for the fireworks?
Yes, it is. You know, in the beer garden, they're going to have some more bands playing. There's a whole lineup, September 1st through the 3rd at navypier.org.
And Lobster Fest, the Great American Lobster Fest,
that's
is this weekend.
On.
We had some representatives from there this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went out there last year and had some lobster.
That's a good time, right?
Yeah, it was good. It's a huge lobster. Rock lobster.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
So, and we had our Tribune summer party out at the offshore.
Isn't that a great place to do it? The views are spectacular.
Yeah. We were trying to do it around the air and water show, but we did it a little after and the weather was better.
Yeah.
So
good.
It's the largest rooftop in the country.
Wow.
It's pretty cool up there. You got to check it out.
Where is, when you walk down where the bridge is here outside the window, there's a poster that shows some rooftop restaurant or bar, but I don't know. I don't think it's for the building that's there because it's near the Sheraton.
Okay.
But I don't know where it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Did you see that?
I'll pay attention.
The next time you come down by the bridge, they show it and they say Chicago's most scenic rooftop bar and restaurant, and they say the name of it, but they don't give the address of it. And I don't know where it is.
I wonder. It's just got to be. There's so many rooftops and hotels.
It's becoming a big deal, isn't it?
Yes. It's a big deal. You know, when I went to Nashville, that was all about the rooftops.
The rooftops?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's just all over the place now.
It's on a nice summer night, they put one in Evanston. I live in Evanston, and they put one, and it's the third floor of a building, which you go, well, what kind of a view is that? Uh-huh. But there's just something about being up there in the open air in the summer. It's just so nice.
I think Chicagoans just like to get out.
Yes.
I love having a little balcony on my condo where I can go out, you know, sit outside.
That rooftop's nice. Of course, it's seasonal. It's not the kind of thing we can enjoy all the time.
During the polar vortex?
Well, right. There's times when it's better. We're more enjoyable, depending on who you are.
Right.
But just to have, it's sort of like an oasis, right?
Yes.
You know, you're in this little kind of place.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. And don't you also think, I can't speak for everybody, but for my wife and I, because we eat out in restaurants all the time, if you're eating outside, even if the food is just average, it's still really nice because you're eating outside.
Yeah.
Something about it.
Yeah, there is. The patios get packed.
Yes.
And, you know.
I'm all right with that.
Yes. So we have some more things coming. Speaking of food and eating outdoors, Chicago Gourmet is coming up. You know, I love that.
Dane, we talked about this last year.
I'm going to do a nice commercial for Chicago Gourmet coming up for Winter.
Yeah.
So I'll be emceeing parts of it, I'm sure.
Oh, very nice.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
What do you know about this year's Chicago Gourmet, Joe?
It's some of the same people are coming, but Andrew Zimmern, do you know him?
He's great. So Bizarre Foods, if you're used to him, he's a national kind of Food Network Discovery Channel personality. He's really great live, too. So he always has some cool insights, fun stories.
He's a talker. He's a good guy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's, I usually go Saturday, so the 28th, but it's the weekend and there's all kinds of events the whole weekend and all that. So Rick Bayless and then I'll be out there. Art Smith's coming, which, you know, he's my buddy. I love him.
Yeah. I've heard you mention him in the past.
A lot of great people.
What is Art Smith's restaurant?
He's not doing one like in Chicago now.
Oh,
he's
doesn't?
Doing, like, different ones.
He's he's just a great personality. People know him, of course, as a longtime Oprah's chef, and but he's he's on like Top Chef Masters. He's just a great personality. He's an incredible guest, and just one of those great ambassadors for great food and family and all the kind of stuff that
does
they
a lot
do
for charity and things like that.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah, he's great. Some new things that just opened. There's a new drag queen bar that just opened. Did you guys hear about Lips?
No.
Have you guys heard about Lips? Yeah.
What goes on there?
Not yet.
What can you tell us?
A lot of lip syncing.
Oh, it is? Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Lips. It's actually a big institution. It's been around 20 years in New York.
Yeah.
And it's finally made its way to Chicago. It opened on, this is like a week ago.
Yeah.
So that's at 2229 South Michigan Avenue. So it's on the other side of Michigan Avenue.
And their game is lip syncing. It's not karaoke, but it's...
No, it's lip syncing. It is. And these are like some of the top, you know, lip sync drag queens that we have. And they're doing different kind of, you know, they're doing like a gospel brunch and different kind of shows. They have, but you have dinner with it.
Oh, so wow.
There's the dinner aspect where
that's
you
fun.
Have dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Do you actually really get to eat the food or just move your lips to the food?
Everything is simulated.
Everything.
It's very rich food, but it was good. They did a nice job with the menu.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So I did that. Another gay happening is the Reeling Film Festival is coming back.
And what is this?
So this is the LGBT Film Festival, 37th annual. This has been going on for 37.
That's tremendous.
Yes. That's September 19th through the 29th. And the full schedule's at reelingfilmfestival.org. It's beginning at the Music Box.
Yeah.
With this movie called The Shiny Shrimps. Which is totally up your alley. And the storyline, though, I love the storyline. Listen to this.
Okay. Yes.
The Olympic champion makes a homophobic statement and is punished to coach the Shiny Shrimps, a gay water polo team.
Wait, that not great? Another gay water polo movie, Jerry? How many of these are we going to have to sit through?
You know, so formula. It's a trend. But it just sounds so great. I mean, what doesn't it sound so fun?
Anytime there's gay water polo, come on.
And so that's at the Music Box that kicks off there the first night, and they're going to have a big party.
So with the Gay Film Festival, is it films made by gay directors, or is it films that have gay subject matter, or is it both?
It can be a mix. Anybody can make a film. I went out to Outfest in L.A., so I've previewed a lot of the films already.
Have you already seen the movie with the water polo team?
I have not seen that one. That one was not out there, but there's several that have carried over.
Yeah.
And there was like some straight guys that just wanted to do a film about diversity. I mean, there's some really interesting people. So I've been interviewing some people for it, and the closing one I did see, it's called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street.
And that sounds good. What is that?
It's a documentary, and it's about Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
Yeah.
Freddy's Revenge.
Yes.
There was a lot of gay subtext in it, and they've made a documentary about the making of it and how the star, you know, how he was gay, but he wasn't out then. And
really?
Yeah, so I got to talk to, you know, Freddie himself on the red carpet about
Robert England.
Robert England. And
he's a nice guy, isn't he?
Cool. He is so great.
Yeah.
He is so great. There's a big fan of somebody in here in the radio station. They love
him. We had Wendy and I had him on a few years ago, and I'm sure Nick would be a big fan. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a trip.
So there was a time, and it shows that there's been some progress made, where if they were releasing a movie that had a gay theme to it, like I remember there was a movie called The Boys in the Band. Did you ever see that or hear that?
Yeah. All right.
So it was so controversial that they couldn't show it in most mainstream theaters. Mm-hmm. Even though the movie has gay characters in it, it wasn't like you were watching an adult film, but it just shows that in not that long of a time, finally there's some acceptance.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a process, and it's still moving along.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's still important to have, you know, film festivals like this in L.A. and Chicago and things like that. So it's nice to have that represented.
And it gives gay water polo players a chance to see their magic on film.
Unrepresented in the movie business.
So far, yes. Right. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
So we have, this is a really cool event, the Andersonville Takeover at 360 on the John Hancock.
What are they taking over?
They are taking over the space up there.
Oh.
And from 6 to 8 on September 5th.
You scared me, Jerry. I thought there was something big coming down.
Well, it's my neighborhood, so I'm excited.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so they are, the admission's $12.50. Mm-hmm. So that's another really reasonable
price.
Very
affordable.
And then you can go sample all these different, like, all these things from the neighborhood up by my house. So I love it.
These are different restaurants participating? Is that what's going
on? Restaurants, but all kinds of things. Like double-decker bus tours, that candle store. A lot of stuff. Rattleback Records, my friend has a record store.
I know what that is.
In Andersonville.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's going to be there.
So this is just off of Clark, I'm guessing, right?
Yes. But this is that's the hood in Andersonville.
Yeah.
But the event is going to be at 360, you know, the observation deck, 94th floor.
Yeah. All right. So, and when is this?
This is September, let's see. We have a September 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up.
So I have tickets for the gay water polo match that night, so I can't go that night.
Oh, my gosh. You're never going to let that go, are you?
No. The shiny shrimp.
Right. The shiny shrimp are coming to town, so I can't miss that.
So that's going on. The green tie ball's coming again.
Oh, talk about this.
That's a big one.
33rd annual.
Yeah.
So this has been 33 years of this.
Yep.
Benefits Gateway Green. So Friday, September 13th, this is going to be at the Alhambra Palace, 1240 West Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
So really cool space that they've never used before for this event.
Yeah.
It's called I Dream of Greenie. Don't you love it?
Yes and no.
Well, here's the whole thing.
Depends on what that means.
Let me just tell you behind the scenes for this one. So it was really, because the space is very, you know how the space is very like, interesting, and they were going to have Barbara Eden come.
Oh, wow.
Really?
But she's not been able to, I don't know if she's going to be able to make it.
Oh.
So that was the whole dream behind that. I dream of greenie. But it's, you know, it's to help.
But
Gateway
I like that
Green.
They didn't give up. Like, once Barbara Eden said, I'll let you know later, they didn't change course.
They're
they
like,
still ran with it. Yeah.
Let's go.
Right. Got the title.
Just keep going with, well, the space and everything.
Yeah.
So Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy is going to be there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So he's come out for a book.
He'll be dressed as a genie.
Possibly. I would love it if
you know, like billowy pants and the crop top, right?
Uh-huh.
If you can't get Barbara Eden for something, the next thing you do is you go, we'll see if Pete Wentz is available.
Yeah, Fall Out Boy.
That
absolutely
makes sense. Yeah.
That's going to be hosted by WGN Radio's Rokan and Anna DeSantis.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've heard the commercials for this.
Yeah.
So they're going to be there. All right, that'll be a fun night.
Yeah.
Right.
So they can get tickets at gatewaygreen.org and help out the environment.
I dream of greenie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Riot Fest is coming.
What too loud. That? That's too loud for me,
too
Jerry.
Too loud for you?
The riot is too loud.
There's, well, that's
when
a lot
is
of
when is Shh Fest?
Riot Fest is
Hush Fest.
September 13th through 15th. It's in Douglas Park again.
Oh.
So out in Douglas Park, we got Blink 182.
Love them.
B-52s.
Love them.
Village People.
Love them.
Patty
three for
Smith.
Three. Love her.
You like Patty Smith?
Yeah. I mean, she's married to?
Who?
John McEnroe.
Really? What?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Are you?
I'm almost positive she is. Are Patti Smith and Patti Smythe the same person,
no,
or are they different? Then John may be married to somebody with a similar name.
Oh, wow.
They get that all the time.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's married to Blink 182. I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Or right, one of the Village People.
Maybe, yeah. The police officer from the Village People.
The Violent Femmes are coming.
I mean, oh, that's
all
great.
Kinds of,
I like them.
Yeah, you're going to love it. The lineup's really fun.
Wow, that is a strong lineup.
Yeah, and Goose Island's doing this. And
oh, that'll be fun.
Giving out beer with a schedule on.
When is this? Cool. When
that
is Riot Fest?
September 13th through the 15th.
All right.
So 13th
through the 15th. Okay.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Good.
Ravinia's got some more shows. I just went last night. It is so
who did
nice
you see last
there
night?
Michael Feinstein.
Oh, you know, good show. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
He's like cabaret kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Haley Reinhart was there. I got to talk to her a little
bit. She is one of my all-time favorite singers. We've had
really?
Wendy and I have had her on 4 or 5 times because she does a little bit of everything. But my favorite thing is she does like some throwback music from the 40s, mm-hmm, and she's so good.
Yeah,
she's so good.
She did. She, I think she knocked him out of the park.
Yeah, she's great.
I think
so
people
talented
went in to see Michael, and then when they heard her, they're like, wow.
So she got her start. Haley Reinhart got her start on American Idol, right?
American Idol. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you knew she was good, but when she broke out afterwards, you just go, wow, is she good?
Yeah, and she's so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Really
like,
nice. She's from here, right? She's
from
Chicago.
Yeah, she's from
I like
and that's a great setting for to go and see some, if you have
Ravinia
a band or whatever, right? And even if you just like that style of music, mm-hmm, because it's a park-like setting, right? You can do the whole picnic thing. People kind of set up their little areas, mm-hmm, kind of camp out, and it's so different from almost any other venue.
Yep.
We've got a lot of them here in Chicago, but for Ravinia, definitely.
It's nice.
Yeah, Sting, I guess, rocked it. He had two nights, and everybody was there. It was just packed.
Yep.
But the ones that are upcoming is Lenny Kravitz, September 7th.
Oh, yeah.
Kesha, September 8th.
She's good.
You know her, crazy.
Yep. She uses the same dollar sign in her name that Dane used to use. I had to talk Dane out of it.
She bought it from me, actually.
Yeah.
She quit using that. She doesn't use it anymore.
Oh, she stopped.
I bought it back.
Dane, you can take it.
Yeah, let him have it. She gave it to you for a steal.
Yep.
Mary J. Blige is coming September
13th. Very talented lady.
and Morrissey September 14th.
Well, love him.
Let's see if he shows up.
Let's see if he shows up.
Yeah.
He's notorious for not showing up.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I've had a great time out there.
Oh, that's excellent.
Does it say that, Jerry, on like some of the advertisements for Morrissey? Is like
Morrissey, if available.
Is there any kind of like maybe he'll show up? The maybe he'll show up tour.
It's just like it's like a well known thing.
I mean, it's like 50-50.
The Willie or won't he tour.
Right. And have Morrissey to stop cooking meat at Ravinia.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He's going to make him shut it down.
Yep. He's very adamant about that.
That's what he did at Riot Fest.
Do you have one more? Because we're out of time. Give me one more thing. Is there one more or not?
There is, yeah.
What is it?
Let's see. Oh, gosh, there's so many. I love some new movies.
Do you have a website for if a case like this where you run out of time where people can visit the website and get the full list?
NoneOnTheRun.com.
All right.
But I just want to say there's a great movie that's opening today, Brittany Runs a Marathon, that I'm super into.
I heard good things about that.
Yeah, so I got to interview the director this week. Really good. Go see that. And then Judy Garland's, I'm seeing that next week.
That's the one with Renee Zellweger.
Yes.
As Judy Garland.
So some good movies coming out too.
Great to see you, Jerry. Thanks for stopping by. Dane and I will close things off in a moment. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. What do you think of our new closing theme?
Sounds great.
This is Wendy and I went in the studio and recorded this. It's her and I singing. We're doing all the vocals.
You sound good, and the backup vocals.
Well, the backup is Jasmine. She did the backup vocals.
Sounds good. Whoever's playing flute there,
Dave Schwann. Ryan Burroughs' part's coming up too. He plays
spoons.
Yeah, he plays the spoons in the
jugs.
Washboard. Yep. So we spent all the rest of this year's budget on this, so I hope people like it.
Yeah, but I don't think you can put a price on the value of a great like outro song.
That's what people say. Thanks for coming in and filling in today. It's always fun to have you.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. That's Dane Neal. Visit his empire. His amusement park.
Listen, on Saturdays, on the road with Dane typically too.
But not this Saturday.
Not this Saturday. He'll be here at Northwestern. And then on Sunday at 5 p.m., the show focused on NBC Sports Chicago, all about
you'll be on
our barbecue contest.
I can't wait to see it. Wendy will return with me on Tuesday. I hope everybody has a great holiday. Again, Dane, thank you.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.